Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why My Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
We don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey motherfucking Dara. And live in the news, dude, we have one of my very good, very silly, very hot, very talented, longtime pals. And these are my favorite episodes when I just get to bring my friends on and gab. Dana Teller, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I love the whole setup here. We're in your studio.
It's so weird to me that you haven't been on the podcast because your life is equally as crazy to mine, but you've just started putting yours online.
Yes. Yeah, and that's kind of scary, but it's, I've started doing stand-up comedy and started putting the stuff online and, I'm entering your world. I'm taking
do, 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 do. Right? But like, I think you're the perfect representative of what people say stand-up is, where it's like, you guys all have someone in your friendship circle that is like your funniest, craziest friend. And you're like, you gotta do stand-up. And we always knew you would get there. And now you've arrived and you had a viral video go viral last week that we'll talk about. But before we get to that,
bing bong,
housekeeping. A little bit of housekeeping. How are you? How are you feeling? How's your life? Anything interesting happening to you at the moment?
I'm great. I'm glowing up right now. You know what I mean? I'm turning 40 this year and
bitch,
I feel like I got momentum. Yes, I'm 40 in July.
You look 24, brother.
Thank you. I paid her to say that. Yeah. Brother, you look 24, brother.
Brother, this is the Florida and house coming out. We're both also from the same town. I don't think we mentioned that yet.
Yeah. I went to Beyonce this week, but
oh my God, tell me about it.
She is the definition of queen. That was just such a production. She looked amazing. She sounded amazing, but it's like, it's not even just a concert. You are going to a work of art, a visual work of art. There's storytelling, there's vignettes. It just was, she is so inspiring to look at and to watch. She's just,
I feel like she's one of those women where you go to a concert like that and it inspires you. Like you walk away and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I could do anything.
I know. And I also feel like I haven't been to like a pop concert in a long time. Like my boyfriend is a huge jam band fan. I feel like we're doing that and festivals and it's a totally different vibe.
This is for the girls.
Like, this is a girly good time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Right. I don't think anything new has really been happening to me lately. People really enjoyed the episode last week where the athlete, aka Henny, and I talked about our come as you are journey. And you actually came over today and you were like, did you know that author also wrote a second book?
Yeah.
And tell me the crazy factoid that you told me.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So her first book, Come As You Are, you guys know, it's like the Bible for like intimacy and desire and relationships. And our couples therapist recommended we see it. We read it, me and my boyfriend. And then she came on her podcast and she said that she was writing a second book called Come Together. And she said
the whole time.
And they're like, so what made you, what's kind of behind this book? And she said that the whole time that she was promoting the first book, Come As You Are, that she and her husband hadn't had sex in years.
Oh,
what?
My God.
And I was like, that is like finding out your real estate agent is homeless. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, that is so crazy. But also, she's an expert in the field. It doesn't mean you're an expert in the action of the field.
Totally. It's like the plumber with leaky pipes. But it's like, but also like, are you coming, Emily? Because if not, don't write the book.
And you have to know, like, there's no way that you're writing that intimately about it without, she's got to come. She's coming.
I mean, I hope so. Cause she's telling us all how do you take advice?
Or what do they say? Never trust a skinny chef.
Yes.
Yeah. We're yeah. like, all right, don't trust an unorgasmic sex
But it also, it's like,
therapist.
You know, they also say like those who can't do teach.
Oh, well, she did teach so well that I think we should do another regrouping of reading Come Together.
Yeah. I want to read that one too. So I'm just, but what it talks about is kind of how like desire does not get you over the hump. You know, like you can't just have desire and that is the fixes and solves everything. Yeah. And just, I heard her promoting this book and she was saying there's different types of desire and satisfaction and things like that. But it's a great book. I recommend everyone read it. And it's great on the audiobook.
Yeah, I'm on a big audiobook kick lately. Me and you are both big readers. Yeah. We love books. You bought me a book for a couple years in a row for birthdays. You always gave me a really good book. And I just finished The Blue Sisters, which was really incredible on sisterhood and addiction. Really fucking great. Sped through that. I just finished Joan Didion's Year of Magical Thinking, which I felt like as a feminist, you're supposed to read her stuff. Okay. And I wasn't like, she won a Pulitzer for this. And I didn't like,
I'm only a feminist sometimes.
Like, you're the kind of feminist, right? Like the kind of, where it makes, where it fits our.
Where it fits, where it works for me.
Yeah, when it's convenient.
Yeah.
Peak white feminism.
Totally.
I also just started and am fucking loving Yellowface. Have you read Yellowface yet?
No.
It was huge. I want to say a couple years ago is when it came out, but the log line behind it without like writing too much is like a white woman in the book publishing world steals a manuscript that was written by a woman of color and like explodes from it. And it's just very, I'm only a little bit into it, so... But as someone who's like written a book and knows the publishing world and knows how intense that scene can be, oh my God, she nails it. Like, it's a really good book. I highly recommend.
Every book you've recommended to me. Like, I will stay up till 4 a.m. reading the book.
100%.
You've recommended The Silent Patient. Oh my God.
Thriller. Huh?
I just did The Da Vinci Code, which I had not read that. Whoa.
Okay, brain. And we got a new Pope.
What?
How do you feel?
I don't know enough.
My favorite has
been an educated comment other than it's all bizarre tradition to me. It's weird to me that we still do things just because that's what we've always done.
Like, it's wild to me that we still have
Catholicism in general.
In general. Like, and that they're like a deciding factor of the world.
I have a friend whose husband just converted to Catholicism.
No!
I'm like, who's converting to that?
Like, we're trying to get away,
guys. We're getting away.
Speaking of TikTok, TikTok did teach me the only way I've been keeping up with the Pope stuff is via TikTok. Some comedians that I follow have been treating it like a Real Housewives, like reality competition.
Go
like
on.
This one's Leo. He's from Italy and he believes in like he's on the right side. And this one's the American guy. He's like Trump's nemesis. And I'm like, okay, wait. This is how I consume information to learn and give a fuck about something.
Cater it
to me.
Yeah.
Put it in a box I can understand.
What is the Pope's relevance to us, though?
Beyond this day?
Yeah.
Couldn't care fucking less.
I have no idea. But if he's going to taunt Trump, like, that's
all
fine.
For it.
Yeah, like, go ahead. Do
keep
it.
Keep going. Let me hear you speak.
Yeah.
Okay, well, forgetting about the Pope, who fucking gives a shit about him? Back to you. You had a video go viral last week. So you have a famous brother.
Yeah.
And
not according to all of the people on Instagram. Like, who is he?
tell the audience about your brother in your viral video recently.
Yeah, my brother is, so we don't need to Google him. It's Miles Teller. He was in Top Gun and Whiplash.
Whiplash, and motherfuckers.
Still one of the greatest. I mean, obviously I'm biased.
No, but I don't know y'all, and Whiplash was an incredible film.
It's so good. We're so proud of that too as a family, just because like we're all musicians and he played the drums. I mean, that's him. So.
And a lot of people don't know that was actually him playing the drums.
I know.
He plays a character that is supposed to be the best drummer.
An elite jazz drummer.
Yeah, in like the best jazz band in the country.
Like a music conservatory, yes.
And
like
therefore, you gotta be pretty fucking good at drumming.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's great. But that was kind of the launch of things back in 2014. And it's just kind of been very interesting, like being by his side through the rise of everything, with everything, really with Top Gun is, I would say, kind of where things started to change.
Big blockbuster. Because he was kind of like an indie darling for a minute.
He was, which is, you get invited to a lot of stuff when the movies are hits, and then the invites go away for a while.
And you're like, wait, I was enjoying this.
I know. I'm like, my 40th birthday's coming up. Like, let's put some hits out there.
What are we doing, brother? He was also just in a movie on that's always playing on a slideshow on my Apple TV.
The Gorge?
Yes, with Anya Taylor-Joy.
It's entertaining. Yeah, I love their dynamic. Anya's so, I think she's just so cool and interesting in her own right. Like, outside, she's just a very, I think if anybody has looked into her at all, she's a very interesting person.
Yeah.
She's lived many lives. And I just think she's so cool. And they have such a mutual respect and admiration for each other that I just love them pairing together. We're just like, I love him and Shailene together because they're very sibling relationship dynamic. But like,
that was
him and
Spectacular
Anya.
Now, right?
Spectacular Now. And they did the Divergent series.
Oh, God. Those books were so fucking good. God, they were great. But yeah, okay, who cares about your brother? I want to talk about what it's like being your brother's sister. Because what a wild fucking journey it must be to be the sibling of a movie star, some would say. But as you joke, like, some people, no one knows who he is. But the experience of your life must have, like, changed in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Your life feels like, no wonder you're doing stand-up now. Because you've lived adjacently the famous.
I call it celebrity adjacent. That's what I told my matchmaker. That I was like,
go on,
I am living a celebrity adjacent lifestyle,
and therefore I'm used to a certain caliber now.
Well, it's more that, like, you cannot bring everyone into that circle. Like, at the end of the day, you can't have your date being like, hey Tom, can I have a picture?
Oh my
god. As in, like, Tom Cruise.
Sorry,
we're on a first name.
Oh my god, you've changed, Dana. You're dropping Tom. Me and Tommy boy, you know, me and Tommy down at the Scientology factory.
Well, Tom, it's so cool because he is actually, Florida is his home base,
right?
Too. So, like, last Christmas, he, like, rented out the zoo.
What the
so
fuck?
So his whole family could go, because his whole family is there over the holidays. So it was, like, me, my mom, dad, nephew, and then, like, 30 of Tom Cruise's family.
Do you ever just look around and go, like, what the fuck?
Sometimes, yeah.
And you've gotten to do what? Like, every time I've seen you go out of town, you're either in, like, fucking Turks and Caicos on a yacht or, like,
that's nice,
hanging out with Gronk, or, like,
I know.
I'm like, what?
I know. Sometimes I say that too, but it's like, it's not what you think it's going to be always. Cause, like, at the end of the day, that's their life.
Yep.
It's not mine. You know what I mean? Like, I still got to go back and sleep on my futon. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's happening. Like, you know, we were in St. Bart's for New Year's, and there's a lot of yachts, parties. You kind of hop around different boats to different parties. And we're, like, in this boat going to this one party, and Gronk's in the boat. And the guy, you know, who's kind of like the doorman, he points at Gronk and he says, okay, you. And then he points at me and goes, not you. Like, have you ever had someone, like, a man just point at you and be like, not you, ma'am. You don't get to come. So it's just like,
no.
There's that too. Yeah, where it's like, all right, come backstage. And then it's like, you guys, like, you stay here while Miles goes in the trailer with Eddie Vedder. Like, you're not allowed in. So it's like, you're right there, but then it can be so humbling at the same time too.
Which, like, you didn't fucking ask to be humbled, but in a way.
You're right. I didn't ask for it.
I feel like personalities like ours, I feel like it's good to start in your position because it did humble the fuck out of it. And I feel like now too, that you're gaining your own success and stardom, that, like, now you're, like, not blinded by the lights. You don't really give a shit. You're more excited to do your own thing, which is
admirable. That's such a good way to put it too.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's very articulate and eloquent.
I try.
It has been cool. It's given me exposure to that world. But you're exactly right, because I always say I suffer from high self esteem. But in those moments, you feel about this big.
And
like,
not to mention,
not you.
You're a middle child. Like, that you could not be more plagued with the universe being like, if we gave you everything you think you deserved, you'd be an absolute asshole. So we had to find ways to knock you down a peg.
That's why God made me 5 foot tall.
Good point. If you were 6 foot, I think I'd hate you.
That's what people tell me. I mean, like,
you'd be like a fucking model, and I'd be like, you are so unrelatably annoying.
Yeah. Thank God. You
thank
know?
God. God knocks us all down.
And this really deep voice. Like, God, thank God he gave me a huge pair of tits, because people would be very confused.
And your tits are nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I did just show you a picture of them.
And I was like, are those Jennifer Lawrence's tits? Those are burned into my brain from when she unfortunately got, like, doxxed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw them on Twitter unconsentingly, but I never forgot.
I know, poor thing. And I did, like, see her, like, a day or two after that. It was
casual.
Just, like, at a small house party. And she was, like, this, I would say, like, less than 20
annoyed.
People.
Ugh.
And she was so scared to engage with everyone.
Aww,
and this is the thing about celebrities, too, that I think, like seeing them, like being able to peek behind the curtain and see, it's just like, they are still people there too. Like, you know, I think the hardest thing too about actors is like, you are your product. Mm. Like you have to have a very strong sense of self to constantly put yourself out there and be like, we don't like it. I mean, if you don't get an audition ever, it's like, we don't want you. It's like, how do you separate yourself from your product? And most of the times it has, like, the roles my brother hasn't gotten that he was, you know, really bummed about, like, 99, it never had anything to do with him.
Right.
You know, it's just like, well, we want someone that's 10 years younger. You
Which
know what
is
I mean?
So hard to accept, I feel
yeah,
like.
Especially for women. And I would just think, like, you see, I think you can kind of see the progression of some celebrities, them getting progressively more guarded, you know, as they go, or just having these moments. And then, like, you say one wrong thing and people are like, bitch, you know?
Yeah, hard to work with, nightmare fuel.
Do you know how many people probably say, I'm hard to work with? I'm an accountant. Like
Wait,
that's what I did.
Yeah,
like,
we have to talk about that, too. Like,
you're like, I'm hard to work with, okay? And I'm not.
You also are in this crazy change of your life where you're, as we love to call, the pivot online. Like, being able to pivot is, I think, the most, especially as a woman, especially in the country we live in, especially in the day and age we live in, being able to do a pivot has, like, opened my eyes so deeply. And in all these books I've been reading too, it talks about how our generation is the one deconstructing, like, nuclear families, kids, jobs. Like, you were living in that mindset, grindset, corporate girly, six-figure, yeah, like, high-esteemed, very fucking cool. I don't know how much you can talk about it, but your job was very prestigious. And you were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
It's so weird to me. I think, you know, as a kid, I was always happiest, like, on a stage or a sports field. Like, that was always what I did.
And you didn't turn out a lesbian, which is wild.
Shocking.
There's still time.
I said
the first time I met you, I said I was going to lick your pussy, right?
You did.
There you go.
You yelled it at me.
I haven't yet, but
repeatedly.
There's still time.
There's still time.
We're going to be friends for life.
I have hope for you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm delusional.
The right combination. Never say no.
Listen, I got plans. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't do mushrooms for the first time until I was in my 30s because I was like, you know, what do they call it? Set and setting. That's what setting, mindset setting. And setting.
And if you got both of those and it's all confidence, baby, I still got time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still a big softball player. We'll see.
Yeah, at heart.
You know what? I somehow just got away. You grow up and you just do all the things you're supposed to do. You're like, okay, I'm in high school. Now I apply to college and I go to college and I get a job. And then before you know it, all these things are happening. And you're like, wait, what am I doing? I mean, like, I think that's what's been so cool about making this pivot is there's been so many people that are like, finally,
you're
like,
doing
this
the thing.
Makes sense. You know what I mean? But I think the moment came really, I mean, you've told me, you know, I need to do it. So many of my girlfriends and friends have just been like, when are you just going to make the leap? And I will say it's, I mean, the only reason I can guess I didn't do it was out of fear. I mean, that's the only thing that really stops us.
Which is wild because if y'all knew Dana, you'd be like, you're not afraid of anything. You're almost a little delusional.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, hey, stop. Actually fucking
Which
chill.
Which is a lot
comforting.
If I hear Kelsey tell me I'm delusional, I'm like, I need to take
it too
back
much.
And I'm too much.
Yeah. No, you're not.
It
you're
comes
not
from
enough.
You.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But I think that's why, too, we've clicked is because we both are like unapologetically ourselves and not afraid of things. But to hear you talk about fear of doing something that everyone around you saw so clearly,
it feels
for
off-brand
you.
For me, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably the most off-brand thing that I've ever done is not pursuing this thing that has always been there in the wings, and I've always like kind of stepped into it a little bit. But it's crazy because my brother has had success, but I think I thought you cannot make a living doing that.
Was there? Yeah, because you also were in a position of like your brother being in the 1% of people that make it. And yet you still were like, I don't know if I should.
Yeah.
Like, how did him being your brother and his career shape your fear, maybe?
Well, I will say one, you know, everyone always, people ask, like in our family, they're always like, you know, did you always know about Miles? And what everyone says, they're like, we knew it would be one of them, you know, between
really
the
thought-
three. But like, you know, we're a little surprised it was him because he was always a little bit more in the background. I was always the ham of the family. Like,
yeah,
I was always jumping on top of things with a microphone, singing, dancing, just
the middle
like,
child syndrome.
Totally entertaining people. That was always me. And yet my mom always says I was her funniest child, which is like pisses my brother off. So bad.
But he's not not a comedic actor necessarily.
That's the thing. Well, I think that's the thing, is his, the route that he took was actors are a little bit, there is that veil a little bit where they're behind it, and you know, it's different. And so this is cool having my own lane, but I think it was just like, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, it's hard to, but I feel like I've taken the easier route because I'm just following in his, I'm riding his coattails.
But you're not, but like also, what the fuck is family for? A, if I'm
not
a brother,
what am I
going to
not take it?
Yeah. Are you crazy?
I'm not going to say it's not going to open doors for me. Would you not take it?
But also you couldn't be more different. Like the paths you're crossing have nothing to do with each other. Yeah. But like, I don't think there's any, yeah, like you said, like remorse or regret about take advantage of the opportunities.
No, I'm not gonna apologize for it.
No,
you know, I think it's weird when people don't acknowledge you have that. You know,
and I think that's
just like, well, I still did the work. It's like, yes, but you have to take a moment and acknowledge
the position you're in.
But like, yeah, it's kind of like a friend getting you an interview. It's like, yeah, you got me in the door. I still have to get the job. So it's, you know, but yeah, lately I've been starting to talk about what that's like. But I think the pivotal moment and what made me take the leap. Was in 2019, my brother got married, and he gave me about like a 3-second heads up that I had to give the speech at the rehearsal dinner.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, are you kidding me? By the way, that's the sister of the groom. Okay. The sisters of the bride had 3 months.
No.
They had a whole routine. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they had like a song and dance.
Oh, no. Not the choreography.
She's the youngest of six. Oh, every single one of her siblings had something planned and all of her friends. And then like, I'm the schmuck. Coming in, but I did close and I did kill, and there was like 100 people there, and I was
okay.
Like, I had so many people come up to me afterwards and be like, that was like, you reminded me of Dave Chappelle. I mean, I'm gonna laugh.
Well,
yeah, I was just like, or like, have you seen Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? But just it was more, I've always had the timing, you know what I mean? And it's just, I've always been comfortable with a microphone. I think a lot of people are surprised to know I've only been doing stand-up for as little as I have, because I feel very comfortable on stage. But it's like, I'm not new to a stage.
No.
I'm new to stand-up. And then after that, I took a class who actually Zach recommended it to me.
Good old pod co-host Zach Noe Towers.
But I think it also, what scared me about comedy is I've always been an athlete. I like playing in teams. I've always worked with coaches and things like that. And to me, comedy felt like such a solo venture. And that was scary to me too. You know,
before you dive in and we talk about putting yourself out there, I want to throw it to a quick break. Break. When we come back, we're going to talk about putting yourself out there.
Confidants, have you ever just felt like a little off, not totally like yourself? Maybe you're feeling a little bit tie. I know I have been going through a lot of stress recently, and I've learned that it's maybe not sometimes just stress or, you know, lack of sleep. It could be hormones at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. I actually took the quiz and it suggested that my body might be overloaded with the hormone estrogen, which could be affecting me in all different kinds of ways. And I got to start taking Hormone Harmony, which has helped with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and so much more. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. And if you take this quiz, you're going to learn a lot more about your hormone balance and can make these small, intentional changes. We love that, confidants. And Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which we support and love here. And that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows, baby. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Kelsey for 15% off today. Confidants, you know I care so much about mental health and mental wellness, and this is a product I love and use all the time. Have you heard of NAD+? Okay, if you're not, you are missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. I got to tell you, I have been using Effecti's NAD Plus therapy for a couple weeks now, and it genuinely makes such a difference in my energy. Like, I wake up so focused, my energy levels are up, and I recover so much faster after long and stressful days. I can actually tell when I am not on it. And if you are looking for a simple way to feel better and recharge, this has been a total game changer for me. Okay. It's one of those things where I actually appreciate the upfront nature about Effecti's NAD Plus treatment and their transparent and fair pricing. Because the moment you sign up, you're going to know exactly what you're paying for. There's no hidden fees, unlike other companies out there. And it's so much more than just a service. It's like a partner in your mental health and well-being, because they have a dedicated group of professionals ready to support you anytime you need advice or have questions, whether you're just like looking to explore the benefits of NAD Plus injections or nasal spray, or looking for guidance on how to integrate them into your wellness routine. Effecti offers unlimited doctor support and are amazing at their customer service team. I'm not going to lie. So are you ready to recharge your body? Because right now my listeners get $50 off NAD Plus longevity treatments at effecti.com with code Kelsey at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com and use code Kelsey for $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It because the world you're entering, it's not like traditional acting. Like, your brother went through a traditional studio system. You're an actor, you take classes, you audition, you're entering a world where it's like your personal experience is the material.
Yes.
Your life is what you're mining from, and comedy is so based in social media these days.
Yeah.
And talking about your life and putting yourself out there. And when I have a one-on-one conversation about you, I mean, I basically know what the inside of your butthole looks like from just like how we chat with each other. But like, what is this leap you were talking about, like making, of putting yourself out there, and how do you do it?
Yeah, it's great. Well, I'm learning as I go. You know, I think I would never call myself a perfectionist, but I would call myself a high achiever. Mm-hmm. And I think like getting over the barrier of like, it doesn't need to be perfect or great. I just was like, I don't know how to do it great yet. I'm not great yet. And I want it, you know, it's like, I feel like I have great taste and I know what good comedy and good content looks like, but the gap between where I'm at and how to get there feels so huge.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what's been hard. But the more I'm out there and I've been touring and doing more things outside of LA, you start to get a feel with what people like, and then it's given me more confidence to start posting things online. Yeah. But the brother stuff has taken off because people are like very curious to see. I think I have this very unique perspective with this lot in life. And I mean, it makes me laugh. You know what I mean? I think what's cool is, you're right, is it's not talking about him. It's talking about my experience where it's like, he doesn't really want people to know him intimately. Mm-hmm. He wants people
He didn't sign up for social media.
No, like, and he really, yeah, exactly. But it feels like, I don't know, it really feels, if you're breaking into this world, you have to do it. And I just feel like comedy's having such a renaissance right now because there's no R-rated comedies anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no good comedy movies anymore.
No, it's so few far in between. Yeah. They're not, everything's a Marvel movie. Everyone's $90 billion budget fucking, like, I think that you bring up such a good point too of like, you have to be your own biggest advocate in this pivot too, because I remember when everyone was like, finally, you're doing stand-up, this is great. And then like the next time I had talked to you, you were like, I'm putting a show together. And I was like, oh, bitch, okay, fuck, let's pop off.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I'm putting my own tour together. And you put your own fucking Florida tour together. Like, you are making your own destiny.
Thanks.
And I feel like that's such a lesson to be taken from this, because people who are listening now, and maybe it's not your journey to try and stand up media or stand up comedy, but like you don't want to do the thing you're doing now forever. And it feels so overwhelming to take one step in that direction.
It
like
does.
Give up that security, that income, that health insurance, baby. Oof. God, I fucking miss health insurance.
I got it, but it is a painful price to pay.
Fuck. But Lord. Like you are such a self go-getter. And talk to me a little bit about like making your own luck a little bit.
I think what I love about the internet, I mean, social media has felt like the hardest thing to break into. It's like, yeah, nothing is more humbling than putting time and energy into something and be like, 27 people have give two shits about this. It's just crazy. It's so funny. But what I love now is like with the internet and everything that's available to us, there's so many different ways to approach it. You mm-hmm. know, before it was just like, you got to hit the circuits in New York and LA, and then hopefully somebody finds you because somebody's in the audience, and then you do it. And it's like, no, there's so many. I mean, that's what I love about Heather McMahon's kind of rise. It was like, yeah, her history is comedy, mm-hmm. but then she left, you know, the New York LA scene and just started putting herself online. And it's like, oh, well, that's not necessarily for the New York and LA crowds, which are such a very small slice mm-hmm. of what this country is and the appetite that people have. And she has just blown up. I loved watching her rise. I think she's yeah. just, I think people gravitate her so much because she's authentically herself, and so are
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And I think there's a room for me because that's always how I've felt about myself. Truly. I won't say that I'm the most relatable person.
But you are with a uniquely unrelatable circumstance, you know, like you yeah. bring normalcy to that.
Yeah. And it's, but I, you know, I have a lot of opinions, you know, like
yeah,
no one's ever said, I wonder what Dana thinks about that. No one's ever, you know what I think about everything.
I
you
wear it I mean? On my face.
Yeah, I know.
Or
I
always, I'll tell you.
And if you haven't heard it, then check on me because my opinion hole is closed.
Yeah,
like I'm
you're
choking.
Yeah. It's all an EMT. And
totally.
I think too, there's like such a space for that kind of woman in stand up. Whereas like you talk about, you know, the corporate job you led before, like, you were in these huge boardrooms, you were in this power position, but like even fighting in that stance, you're not getting your flowers necessarily. Like it's not inspirational to people. Like there isn't a way for yeah. women to really see themselves in you unless they know you personally. Mm-hmm. And I think this job you're now doing is so much more aspirational and like interesting for women to look yeah. at you and say like, oh, there's a space here for me, and it's right. a safe space.
And it's fulfilling. I mean, in those rooms, I mean, I was usually the only woman, the only person under like 65 years
wow.
old. You know what I mean? It's like even the women at the top and a lot of those are, you look at the rest of their life and you're like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened. I kind of looked around and I was like, okay, where would be the path for me? Like what's kind of the best, what does that look like? And I would look at the women around me who were like in those roles. And I was like, I do not aspire to have anything else in their life. You
yeah.
know what I mean? They just, it seemed very lonely. And that's nothing, that was a path they chosen. They don't appear, you know, that's the life they built and they enjoy it. It just never seemed for me. But, you know, I think I started getting very angry towards the end. Like I just was, and I've heard, I don't know who I've heard say this lately, but that a lot of anger really is just, stunted creativity is just
ooh.
Like blocked creative. That's where our anger come from. Like
I believe
us
it.
Not tapping into our creativity and like fulfilling that. But I just, this really has felt like this is my calling and now I'm finally answering it. You know what I mean?
And you talk about like turning 40 soon and to yeah. me you're not. And like, again, age is just a number. And I know that sounds like ageist and stuff, but we talk about that a lot on this podcast where it's like our, again, our generations have shifted timelines, goalposts. Like you and I both aren't married, don't have mm-hmm. kids, and I think
by choice
yeah. child free
yeah.
and you are also entering a period in your life where you feel maybe these are things you want.
Yeah, well, one, I it's just now that I'm having momentum with comedy, it just the female, you know, the predicament that we're in is like at some point I have to take time off if I'm going to have a kid. I mean, I just want to outsource all of it. I don't feel ready because I have this momentum and like men just don't have to take that kind of pause.
No.
But I need to do this all while I'm still hot. You know what I mean? I just want to do it all once so people listen to me. You know
so
what
people
I mean?
Listen.
So they listen
care
a little
about
more.
Your opinions.
A little bit more. Yeah. Or maybe fair, I get away with a little bit more edgier stuff because my tits are out. And I'll take it.
And to be fair, I don't think a lot of people want to hear what a 21-year-old has to say about dating.
That's
and stand up. Yeah. I'm like, shut up. Shut up.
I
don't know what you're fucking talking about.
I'm like, at this point, I have life experience. Yes. If I would have done this 20 years ago, what would I have talked about?
Oh, my God. I think about that all the time.
Getting drunk at Bullwinkle's at Florida State University. What would I have talked about?
Getting roofied, like, at a college frat party. Like, the relatable, but sad. Not funny. I was still so sad back then. I needed to find a way to mine funniness.
At what
experience.
Point were you like, I just can't do anything else. I need, like, there's no way I'm going to sit behind any kind of a desk or I'll be allowed.
I was
into
the same as
office.
You. Like, my parents sent me to every theater camp. Like, anytime they could be like, go put this energy somewhere.
Yes.
From the day I was born, like we talked about earlier, you're watching home videos of yourselves and like, mine are very similar where I'll just like stand up and be like, twinkle, twinkle. And everyone was like, yes, Kelsey, go.
Oh my God, that's me.
And I
could, Leo's baby.
Yeah. I really tried to contain it with like sports journalism. I was on the morning show. I was like, maybe I want to be a broadcaster. Maybe I want to be an interviewer, like red carpet. Like I did a lot of that. And I don't care about what other people have to, like, I'm not here to mine other people's things. Yeah. I'm here to speak
for
on
myself.
My truth.
Yeah,
and like
it focuses on other people. When
and whatever. Like, people might be like, that's so attention whore-y. But I also say to that, what's wrong with being attention whore-y?
Yeah. So
you want attention? Why do we think that's a bad thing? When men's like, I have something to say, people are like, let me take out my notebook. And for girls, they're like, shut up. Shut up.
I know. I just, it's like people that interrupt a lot, that, you know, people think it's rude, but it's like, no, they just have a better story than you. Just like, shut up.
Something to say.
Yeah. No, we just let people go on and on and on and on. It's like, you have nothing interesting to say. You are some boring motherfucker. Yeah. Anyway.
It's true. And you and I have similar experiences too of like, we are, you said it earlier perfectly where you were like, I'm just crunchy enough, but I'm still vain. And like I subscribe to a lot of feminist ideals, but also disagree with a lot of them. And like, I am a woman who believes in science, but also I have crystals around my apartment. Like, we're the balance, the duality.
It's a spectrum.
Yeah, yes, I think it's important.
Yeah. What do you think is like the biggest oxymoron of your like, what is something that's like super crunchy or super vain?
Dude, I ran a retreat.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get any more crunchy.
That's pretty crunchy.
Like, people were joking it was a cult. And I was like, yeah, if a cult is like super fun, I get why people join it. Like, I would follow me in
cults
a cult.
Cults are fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're real fun. Why would anybody else join them?
Join them. It's only when they get bossy that, like, all my cult members had their own autonomy. They had freedom, bodily autonomy.
That cult wouldn't have lasted then.
No, yeah, you're right. They
That's
were
why
easily
it's a weekend.
Taking over.
It's a long weekend,
yeah,
right?
It's a long weekend.
Yeah, I feel even like, a week-long cult with that kind of a group wouldn't work.
Yeah, I'm like, accept yourself, and I will be putting on makeup today.
Like, what's the least culty thing you did at your cult? Like,
the least culty thing that I did at my cult?
This is,
I mean, we put it all on social media, right? Like, the whole time we were, like, content, baby, content, we still need people to, like, this is still a business.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, the reason why we can't continue to do treats is they're fucking expensive. Like, they're so, like, hard to put together for such little amount of money.
Really?
And when you walk away at the end of it. And I hope to get back to doing them again. Like, we had planned this big one that was, like, a winter retreat up in outside of New York City, and we were finally doing East Coast, and like, we were so excited to do that, and it was cheaper, but it was so hard to get people there. Like, venues are just expensive.
So not to like harp on Heather McMahon, but I just, the model, what is she doing for her brand? Did you see she did this cruise?
Oh yeah.
And I actually know a couple people that went
same
on that cruise,
the friends,
and
who,
they had so much fun, and they already signed up. She's doing another one in 2 years. They already signed up for the next one. So
this,
it's like,
dream.
Maybe it's, I wonder what made that like more profitable or successful. Mm-hmm. Is it like how easy they made built it because it's already kind of a built-in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something that's already built in for you where it's like you don't have to do it all on your own.
Exactly. We did it very independently. But you're very DIY. Yeah, but here's my thing about DIY, and Zach says it all the time. It's very methy. It's like very like, I'm going to pick this up right now and do everything I can, and then I'm going to forget about it. And it's maybe going to be a little broken. It might not work. Yeah. But you'll have a chair and a bookshelf. Might take me 6 months to put together, and God forbid there's an earthquake because I will die underneath it. But it'll be.
Why is meth just like the putting things together? Like all construction workers are on it, like building bathrooms in 4 seconds.
My sister who was on it said that everyone takes apart computers. That's like the number one like meth stereotypes is taking apart computers and putting them back together.
Construction workers like building, you know, like.
And truck drivers to be able to stay up.
That I get. Yeah, but that is just terrible. This is why UPS is now paying them like $185,000 a year.
So what?
Oh, yeah. It's like a 5-year, like a couple year when they had that big strike.
Shut up.
Yes. And so now UPS, it's over like the course of 5 years, the drivers are going to be paid $185,000 a year.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, but we're
That's our Amazon packages. Yes. That's our fault.
I mean, our entire retail chain. I mean, look at how much ordering and delivery is going on. I mean, we totally rely on just like... Our generation, millennials, Gen X, they don't want those jobs.
No.
So now, but at 185 with Damn. Benefits.
Bro, that sounds nice, actually. Yeah. And you drive around, you can listen to audiobooks all day?
You don't need to do meth.
Listen, I might have a backup. I might have a backup plan here. This is really exciting. Also, I want to ask you a little bit about your upbringing in Florida. Obviously, shout out 813-727 for life. And I feel like I already know.
I was a 352, if there's any of you out there.
352.
It's like Gainesville, Ocala, Citrus County.
You dirty, dirty girl. Yeah. Tell me about like how growing up in or like being raised in Florida shaped your experience as a comedian.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I was a bit of a mutt. We kind of bounced around a little bit and lived in like Jersey, kind of at the Jersey Shore.
The Florida of the North, you
I
mean?
I know. So I was like... raised in New Jersey, moved to Florida, so I guess I'm just destined to be a clown. I'll probably die in Vegas.
Honestly, if you moved to Vegas, I'd be like, that
makes
that's
sense.
That's
the right trajectory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But so I think it was just moving from like this kind of cool artsy shore town, because it was a very artsy town. It was small town in New Jersey. Cape May, shout out. Love it there. Still go back every summer. But then we moved to like the rural part of Florida.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which was just very different. Citrus County, it just, like, that was, I had never seen a Confederate flag before.
Oh, my God, right?
And they were everywhere.
And like, being, when you're not raised around that, coming into it, it's like, what?
Oh, God.
And I how know. Normal it is?
It was normal. It was normal for people to show up with, like, dead deer in the back of their truck.
Oh,
like, because they
the
just
time.
Came from hunting.
Oh, we both grew up on, like, bonfires, 4x4s, going
yeah.
mudding.
Which I gotta say... Rednecks know how to party. Like, rednecks and gay people, they have got partying down. Two very
They've got
different...
two overlap Venn diagrams.
There is overlap.
The
like,
middle
whenever
ground
I go
is
to,
like
yeah.
poppers. Whatever. Or, like, dusters.
My first love. Oh, my God. Well, it's funny, because whippets. When I came out here, I didn't know what...
A whippet or a popper?
A poppers. Were.
Yeah.
And then, like, I was like, oh, we're just... These are whippets. These are whippets.
But, like, in Florida, those were...
Everyone did whippets.
The redneck whippets.
I never did them, because I was just like, they've got to kill your brain cells instantly. It was, like,
until,
the one thing I didn't do.
I didn't do that. I also didn't do meth or heroin.
Same.
But
I don't really.
I do, I'm not going to lie, poppers during sex.
Okay. Well, they loosen everything up, right? Is that the...
But it's, a 30-second high.
Yeah.
Girl.
Just pop. I mean, whenever I go to gay bars, they're fucking, they're everywhere.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I'm new to this.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? I get
it. Now, is there a method to doing the poppers? Because I know you can overdo it.
Yeah.
Because if it's a 30-second thing,
yeah.
What, you just
go,
feel
go
like
close
relaxed.
To coming. Like as soon as you're close to coming, grab it and just do a big whiff. And then your orgasm's going to be like.
But then are you always chasing it?
That is something to watch out for.
Because that's
an
for me when I've been using my vibrator too much, and then my boyfriend's going down on me. I'm like, just fucking plug it in. Like,
just what are we doing here?
You know what I mean? It's just
we're
like
not
it's
even
hard.
Competing.
I've had to take detox breaks from sex toys because it's
that's
just
so
very
real.
Hard. then they can't mimic.
No.
You know, something like that's
it's
never.
Not. And I don't want you to either.
No.
I don't want you going down there like a fucking vacuum.
No, they're very, but I've had to take detox breaks and like now I can't have an orgasm without it.
And it resets. It does.
It does.
It, a little bit of like you don't use it, you lose it. The pussy knows.
It does.
It's a mind of her own.
I know a lot. But yeah, Florida was just, but they had a good time. It kind of felt like I went to prison in a way where it's just like, if you can't, like I put on the orange jumpsuit and I did it. Like if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing.
100% like, best way to explain
it. I was the Jersey girl with like the funny accent and coming out thought I was like all hot shit. And it was like, you know, you don't know what a 10-point buck is. You know what I mean? It's just like I was in another world. But, you know, at the same time, these are some of my closest friends. I mean, I just had a tour in Florida and the Florida people came out like a couple hundred people, you know, from middle school, high school. They all came to support me. And that's just that's cool about being in a small town
with nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do. Like bonfires, have sex with people.
God. And I think the way I always describe it was, I didn't know it was as fucked up as it was until I left. Like, I didn't know my experiences were not normal until I left. And I moved to New York City afterwards. And even New York City people were like, you did what in middle school? And I was like, oh, is this not normal?
No.
And then I realized I'm so glad I got a lot of those experiences out of the way young. Because had I moved to LA without ever having tried drugs, ever had like meaningless wild sex, like I would have been ruined by this town.
It's so true. I always say that. I'm like, you know what? I knew my limits early.
Yes.
Like that was like I did party.
Build your
tolerance. Was like I was the single party girl. I kind of was that girl up until I met my boyfriend. Like for 20 years, I was like the single party girl.
Yeah.
And so like I just was always up for a good time. Yep. But yeah, I had had my moments where I went too far. And fortunately, I somehow remained safe in those situations.
I'm not arrested, not thrown in prison.
Yeah,
no DUIs,
none of that. But like, I learned my limits. And, you know, we looked out for each other. So I got to say, like, Florida will always have a special place in my heart. And I love going back there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's hot. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's fun to go back. But also, it's like, it's a good reminder that, like, everything there are so many different there's tons of people out there living totally different lives than you, and that's just
it's
I think
good
that's
for
always
your
good.
Cultural encyclopedia. It's
I love that we're calling Florida cultural. That's what we just said.
We're trying to convince you guys it's not that bad.
It's the new
it is, but it's not
it's the
that
new Amalfi
bad.
Coast. Just head on
down. Go, you know what? Go take a vacation.
Yeah.
Spend your hard earned cash on a trip to Florida.
I do miss the beaches. They're so
the
clean. I mean,
world.
I live in Santa Monica at the beach here. I'm just like, this beach is disgusting.
It truly is.
Like
it's trash.
On drug needles and
the
stuff.
The beach is like you're getting hit by the waves in a way that is violent. Island.
The Pacific is dangerous.
It's gross.
Yeah.
I'll say it. And I say it every time I go out there. I'm like, why am I here?
It's disgusting. But like Florida, it's just, you know, the Gulf, like that's a chilling.
You can't beat.
You're just chilling. It's warm. You can bring, you know, you can bring a drink into the water out there.
Oh, yeah.
You
no gives a shit.
I know. And I miss the boating culture, too. I was on boats a lot there.
To know someone with a boat in Florida is standard. To know someone with a boat out here is hard.
I was dating a guy and then like we broke up in the middle of summer and I was like, oh my God, like I don't have a boat. Like,
shit.
I am single. I have no lines out there. Like
we got to fucking get more boat friends.
I joined Tinder and this was like right when Tinder was new and I literally swiped right on everything with muscles in a boat. It was like muscles in a boat. It is July 4th. Muscles
you
in
said
a boat.
I swipe white, which is also true. You were only swiping white for men with boats.
I swiped white, white boats.
White men with boats.
Muscle boats. So three things.
Yeah. So you talked about how you were like a reformed slut, which like AKA me, but also I'm still kind of in my slut era. I'm just like more, smart about it.
well, yeah, cause you're in a relationship and you still get to be a slut.
Yeah. The best.
Where I'm like in a relationship and I've hung up.
That's what I wanted to ask was like, when did you know from being a girl that I used to, you know, run around with and like hear your crazy stories and be like, she gets it to now you're kind of hanging up your hat. When did you know it was time to put the slut stick down, pass the baton?
I still might not know. I don't. Yeah. I think it's just meeting the guy. It was the first time I met someone where I could picture sharing a life with. It seemed like we just agreed on all of the big stuff. Like we don't argue about any of those things.
Wow.
And yeah, it has been an interesting shift. It almost feels like I have to grieve that
singledom
version of me.
100%. Because you are going to be a different person now.
I know. And so much of my identity is being like, is like being this like sex positive skank. Like I always was the one that
sex
had the funny
skank.
Yeah, sex positive. Yeah. Slut is what some people call. But it's hard, like kind of, yeah, like putting the boots away. Like, I don't know. I don't know about it. It's a lot more fun to date for fun than date for marriage. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, this guy, it's like, you know, did I meet him at Burning Man and go to a sex party? Am I going to marry that guy?
No.
Am I going to fuck him on my birthday? Yes. Like that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think I just also miss the stories. Like there were so many interesting people and stories that came out of it. And I think the most fun part about dating is like giving them the nicknames.
Oh, yeah?
Like the nickname. Well, yeah, because I would never call a guy by his name.
Because who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
You take, as my grandma always says, you take away the name, you take away the power. And I've always loved that. It's so true. Ladies,
and we love your grandma.
If you're going through a breakup, never say their name. They are what's his face.
It's like Voldemort.
Yes, exactly. You don't, and anytime I would break up with a guy, my grandma would be like, oh, what's his face?
Like,
he is what's his face.
Who cares?
What's his face? What's her face? Don't give him the name. But also, how many Johns are there? There's so many. It's confusing. But if I name you after, like, if you're Prostate Pete, you know what I mean? Like, we know who you are. You know what I mean? If you're Dildo Baggins, there's only one of you.
Oh, who could forget Dildo Baggins?
Dildo Baggins.
That was an iconic one.
Yeah.
You had some pretty iconic
ones. The Butthole
ones.
Irishman. I mean, no one forgets these people.
And that's what you talk about, like, losing the stories. You're like, yeah, I might not have any more Butthole Irishmen, but now you're entering this cool new phase of your life where you're still going to have these stories. They're just going to come from different
they're not
places.
As funny, I'll tell you that.
Stop!
Like there's funnier stories when like you're fighting. Like some of my best stand-up is like over the arguments me and my boyfriend have, because they're universal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're like, they're very relatable. We've all been through them. But yeah, I do kind of miss
the chaos.
I was like the Tom Brady of slutting. I really was.
Damn, you had all those rings.
I did. And now I see why he came out of retirement. You know what I mean?
Hey. I mean, there's still time. We love Brooks, and shout out Brooks. But
yeah, he's the best. I love
who knows?
Him.
You talk about couples therapy, which I love that you guys do. Me and Henny also do couples therapy. Big fans. But like, there's still time.
Who knows? I've never considered myself like a traditional person.
At all.
No. So I've never just done things because other people do them. I've never seen myself it being a traditional trajectory, no matter what I do. But there are still some that I subscribe to. Like, I'd still like to be married, although I don't think that it makes me or him any more loyal or committed.
No.
I don't think a piece of paper ever has done that.
No.
But
there's something that sounds...
I just don't want to call him my boyfriend. I'm 40 years old. Like, that's what? That's gross. Like,
no.
I think it's the weirdest
Normalize
thing.
Normalize it.
No, I just think it's weird.
You're
boyfriend.
Paving the path for women like me coming up.
And then
like
if I say partner, that
you
doesn't.
You sound gay.
I sound gay. Nothing wrong with that. It's just like, it's inaccurate. You know
I
what
like
I mean?
Saying it because it puts out there that maybe I am a little gay.
Yeah, well, that works for you because you are a little gay.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, and people would think you were.
I mean, it's already very close. People question it all the time. So it's just like, that's not right. I'm just like, I kind of even just want a fiance so I can call him that. But that's even a weird temporary thing that's not even American.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But we found a lot of people that like enjoy the process, you know, like.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be quick. Just do it at your pace, your time. If there's anything I know about you, it's that you'll do it your way.
Yes.
I did it my
exactly
way.
Right.
Well, Dana, this has been so fun having you on. I love when my friends come on the pod. Do you have anything coming up? What shows you got? Tell the people where they can find you.
Let's see. It's going to be me. I'll be at the Ha Ha Comedy Club June 19th. Then I'm doing the Boulder Comedy Festival June 25th, 26th. If we got any Coloradans there.
We do.
And November, I'm going to be in the Northeast. I'm going back to my roots. I'm doing Baltimore, D.C., Philly, and New York in November.
And where can they find you on the social media?
I'm Dana Teller.
On all
Dana
the things?
Dana Teller on all the things. There's
Hell
only
yeah.
one of me. Yeah.
This is so fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
All right, confidants. That's what we're saying this week is you got to pivot on your own time. You got to do it your way. Be your biggest advocate. And until next week, bitches, have a great week. Bye.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free Select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.